With your Bibles open to the book of 1 Thessalonians once again today. 1 Thessalonians, please, and chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. Try to get you running, taken care of now, if you would, please. Thessalonians and chapter number 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 of that chapter. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as you know it came, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that scripture today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the songs that have stirred my heart this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour and the reminder again of what Christ has accomplished on the cross, giving your precious life for sinners, unworthy of your love, dying in our place. You've brought salvation to us, and in that I do rejoice this day. And Father, I pray for your help this morning. I pray that you'll touch the hearts of your people that are here, those that are listening. And Lord, that you'll open hearts and make hearts tender. May the Spirit of God breathe upon us today and tenderize our hearts, that we might, Lord, be tender and thoughtful and meditative upon the things of Christ in this hour. And I pray, O God, that you'd help me. I need the touch of God upon me. Without you, Lord, I'm nothing. Nobody can do nothing without you. I pray for that unction. I pray for that anointing power of the Spirit of God, that liberty this morning to preach the gospel. Father, I pray that you'd help my physical body. You'd give my throat the strength that it needs this morning. My body, Lord, the power and energy that I need there to preach, Lord, the way that I can preach with the glory of God. Then I pray that you'll bless every heart and save sinners and revive your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 1. I believe it's on. They got me on mute. Somebody's been using the mic. Got it on mute. All right, we're there now. I want to read it once again this morning in verse number 1. It's where I'll be taking our thought from, where the Bible said, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. I really don't know why the Lord has laid this on my heart to preach on the thought that I'm preaching on this morning. But I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit has given it to me to preach. And I've studied it, meditated, thought about it, and still wondering what God is trying to do, or what message, or even to whom He's trying to convey this message to. But the Bible says there in the last part of that verse that Paul said, I thought it was good that I would be left at Athens, and not only be left there, but to be left there alone. And I want to preach for a little while this morning on the blessing of loneliness. The real blessing of loneliness. I know that sounds kind of mournful to you and I in the flesh. But I believe if you'll reflect upon it in your spiritual man this morning, that you will understand there is a real spiritual side to loneliness. And real blessings can come to us out of being alone. And so I want to preach on that a little while, the blessing of loneliness. I want to say this before I ever get there, and I'll probably repeat this again. But you can be alone and yet be standing in a multitude. I've seen that come to pass in the lives of people. That they can be in a congregation of people or a multitude of people, and yet they are there alone. And they are alone because they're wrapped up in their own mind and they've closed themselves in and others out. And they are there alone. I want to say that type of loneliness, church, is not good. And I'll get to that in just a little while, but I want to try to preach and get out of here as quickly as we can. And I try to start being on time, but it don't look like we're ever going to be able to do that. But if you notice here, once again, our dear brother Paul in this verse, he's talking and we see the great love of this apostle Paul for the saints that are at Thessalonica. There was a sincere longing in his heart to see these believers and to see them established in the holiness of God. I want to repeat again today, that ought to be the longing of every man of God. It's just not to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday night and gather together, but to be able to preach the Word of God in such a way that it creates a holy life and a holy living in the hearts and lives of those that are there. You know, the Bible said, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy, saith the Lord." I'm not satisfied with seeing you and I just living a lower life than what the Bible says we can have. One of my favorite verses, Jesus, come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. And I don't think there's a real God called, heaven called man of God that will ever be satisfied with a church that is cold in spirit, complacent in their life, and away from God and backslidden on God. He'll never be satisfied until they are on the firing line, till they're out there seeking the face of God, doing their best to find the power of God and the blessing of God in their life that they may walk with God in a holy lifestyle and to be conformed to the image of Christ. We ought to press toward that mark. We ought to strive to be holy. We ought to have a mindset of righteousness and a heart full of holiness and a longing within us to be conformed to the very image of the Son of God. Not being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God within your life. And so I think Paul had a real love and a desire to see a holy life established in the lives of these believers. And being himself hindered by Satan and not able to go himself, he sends his faithful laborer and minister of God, Timothy, to them. And Paul chose the suffering of afflictions of loneliness that these young converts might find comfort and strength through the preaching of Timothy. Paul did not say that Timothy had a desire to go. He did not say that Timothy really wanted to leave my company. But he said, I sent Timothy. That tells me that Paul had little authority in his life. And Paul had little authority in those preacher boys that were under him. And Paul said, Timothy, I'll stay here alone. I'll suffer the afflictions of loneliness. I'll suffer the tribulations of living without companionship. And you might go to those believers in Thessalonica and establish in them that great love of God and to comfort them in the faith that they're now living. He said, for the solitary man, I want to say, will either degenerate into a religious hater of humanity. And that is a fact. Someone that is a hermit, what we call today a recluse, what happened to the monks in their monasteries will happen to someone today
There is a disadvantage of being alone. Now, I want to say there is a disadvantage of being alone while you're sitting in a multitude of individuals. There is a real danger there. Brother, you will degenerate, ladies and gentlemen, into a religious hater of humanity. You will take on a lopsided view of what Christianity is all about, and every flaw in humanity you will become critical in and elevate yourself higher than they are when you yourself is just a religious shyster dead in sin and going to hell and without God. That's exactly right. Now you can do that. Or there's another side to it. There is another side. You can have a spirit of the devil, hater of humanity, or you can enrich and strengthen your spiritual life by reverent subduing to contemplation and meditation upon the Word of God. Now, did you get a hold of that? I want to say that in our lonely hours, we can become a giant for God. I thought about being lonely, and I'm telling you, I don't relish the thought of it one bit. I'm getting old. And the older you get, the more you begin to think about what your latter days are going to hold for you. Now, I know you young bucks don't think nothing about that. While you're young and full of strength and energy, and you know hey, you're not ever going to grow old. Marker down, buckwheat, you're going to grow old. Or you're going to die young. There's no other way. I mean, either grow old or die. And I'm telling you, the older you get, the more concerned you get about the life you're going to live and how you're going to respond and how you're going to react when you grow old and those days of loneliness come upon you. I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart. I mean, a man may lose his spouse and be left alone in life. I'm telling you, as much as the children may love, they have their life to live also. Are you listening to me? A man may die and leave his wife all alone. Or children may die. Think of the tragedies in Muhlenberg, just the fires here in Hopkins County a week or so ago, and the one in Muhlenberg County. A man and his wife and a little child, and they left. They left a little 7-year-old child alone in this world. And I wondered, what will run through the mind of that lonely child knowing mommy and daddy is gone? I preached at the nursing home, the veteran center, last week. I wondered what is going through the mind of those men that are there. When they get in their room and there's nobody there, nobody around, and all they have for comfort or companionship is a television set. Let me ask you, and look here, what are we going to do? And here's where I really want to get to. What are you and I, as the children of God, going to do in those lonely days and lonely hours that God may allow to come into our life? How we may still be married, have a family, be in church, but what are we doing with those days and hours that we are left to ourselves and nobody around? What are you women doing when your husband's out at work and the kids are in school? What do you men do when mama's out looking for Santa Claus with the children? You're left alone at the house. I'm telling you, we've got a generation of people that they just can't stand loneliness and silence and solitude. They just cannot stand that. We've got a generation that's either got to have a television of blaring. Don't make any difference whether we're watching it or whether we're not, as long as there's a noise in the house. Or we've got to have a radio going. We can't even drive down the highway and have an hour of silence. We've got to be seeking and scanning on the radio dial to find something to make noise. We want noise. That don't, hey, it don't have to be, it can be about any kind of a noise. As long as a noise is being made. I thought about men in the Bible. I'll get to my message in a minute. I thought about men in the Bible. I thought about old brother Jacob. Old brother Jacob, the Bible said, and went down into the land of Padan, down there to his, and found his wife, and spent years there, was making his trip back up into the land of Canaan. God had come to him and called him to go back to the land of Canaan. God would bless him there. And as Jacob made that trip back, I want everybody to listen. There was one thing and one man in his mind more than anything else. And that is, what am I going to do when I face Esau? I have pulled the hoodwinker on him, buddy. I stole the birthright from him. I mean, I deceived him. I am a supplanter. My name is Jacob, and I should be judged for that sin. So what am I going to do when I meet that man? Now, I'm going to tell everybody in here that's got lonely moments in your own mind that how I'm going to respond to this situation. How I'm going to respond to that situation. Some of you is probably thinking in Sunday school, how am I going to respond in the preaching hour? What am I going to do at Christmas time? How am I really going to respond to the children's program and the plays and this and that and the meal and all the crap? How am I going to respond to all this? And you have got some lonely time in your mind, folks. Are you listening to me? I want to show you what Jacob did. The Bible said there in Genesis 32:24, get this now. Jacob set his family in one place, and the Bible said that Jacob was left alone. He didn't have a radio. He didn't have a television set. Jacob was left alone. And I'm not reading between the lines. I'm reading the Word of God. And the Bible said, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. I want to say this morning, hallelujah to God, when we're alone, we're not alone, because where we are, there is our Lord likewise. Oh, we are never outside the loving care and the tender love and mercy of our God. Even in loneliness, Jacob left alone, worrying about what he's going to do when he faces Esau. Concerned about his own life. What am I going to do when I meet him? The Bible said, and there was a man that wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Isn't it a wonder? Hey, I'm telling you that our lonely days and lonely nights can create a glorious opportunity for us to spend time with our God. The longer I serve Him and the older I get, the more I realize that it is those special moments when there's no one around but Him and myself that my heart is blessed and stirred the most in my Christian life. I love to come and pray with the men and get happy and shout and praise the Lord and weep and cry and carry on. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the happiest moments that I have with God are when there's no one around but He and I. I'm telling you, one morning when we was on our way to Brother Simpson's, Miss Hall went shopping. There was nobody in that little old room but me and God. And I'm telling you, I began to study about the gospel. Oh, and begin to read where Christ had died for my sins and justified me. And I'm telling you, buddy, the Spirit of God came in that little room where I was. And it was like joy unspeakable and full of glory. A son, me and him had a camp meeting time right there in the motel room. Nobody around but me and him. I'm going to tell you what old Jacob did when he was alone. He prayed. Some of you yard birds need to learn to pray. As all said, how's the prayer meeting last night? I said, well, men that I used to hear pray and weep out in the seats ain't a praying. I can't hear a sound out of them. I don't hear nobody praying but me. I said, men that used to pray out loud and cry out to God, you could hear them crying out to God. Their prayers have been silenced. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if we do not learn to pray, and I know prayer is not a real subject for Sunday morning, but I am preaching on being alone with God and the blessing of being alone. It can be spent in a season of prayer that will wind up being rewarding to you in your Christian life. What a God we have. Jacob was left alone. And his time was not spent on the internet. Thank God for the internet, but I'm telling you, too much of the internet's bad news, Charlie Brown. Too much computerism. Too much internet. Jack-legging and looking at stupid. I mean, things that will not profit one bit. I'm saying there's a time for it. But I'm telling you that there's too much time on it. Well, there's nobody around. Mama's gone to town. The children are gone. I'll just surf a little while and see what I can do. I'll tell you what you better do. You better stop surfing and start seeking. Amen. Seek the Lord while He may be found in that Bible. And come to church with a smile on your face and a spring in your step rather than coming to town looking like mother-in-law moved into town and she ain't never leaving. Amen. He prayed while he was alone. I better hurry. I'm like Brother Wayne now. Not only did he pray, he wrestled with a man, but notice verse 28 of chapter 32 of Genesis. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. For the Bible said, therefore, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men. And he said, and hast prevailed. I'm going to ask you something. When was the last time you locked in on God with a need in your life and you locked in on heaven, ladies and gentlemen, in prayer and would not let Him go until God blessed you and you prevailed in that prayer meeting? But the old timers used to call it praying through. Let alone praying through, we can't even pray to. They prayed through to the Holy of Holies, and we can't even pray up to the door that leads into the outer court. God help us. Then he said, up Brother Smith, we're weeble and feeble. We're weak and feeble, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'll tell you, we better chat. Hey, what can a lonely man do? Hey, he can pray and he can prevail. I'm telling you, it is a time when you can pour out your heart to God and tell Him things that you would never tell in public. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of Him being a talebearer either. He ain't going to tattle on you. Tell Him all your heart. Puke all your mess up on Him. That's right. I'll tell you, when you're alone, that's a good time to just throw it all up, get her out in the open, tell God all about it. Somebody said, oh, He already knows about it. Yeah, but I'm telling you, until we confess and forsake our sin, there will be no mercy from our God.
Amen. That's right.
I know that's right. Some of you don't even read your Bibles anymore. And you think God will bless you for coming to the house of God and you don't even read your Bible? You don't pray and you don't read your Bible. When was the last time you prayed through? When was the last time you prayed a hole through heaven?
Amen.
That's right into that grass that hovers over you. And you knew without a shadow of a doubt that, hey, that God had heard. We sang that old song, I just heard from heaven and it's all right now. I'm telling you, our problem is we're not hearing from heaven. God help us today. We need the Holy Ghost to breathe on us in this place and settle in on this place. We need to hear from heaven, ladies and gentlemen, that we might know that it's all right now. I can tell by looking at some of you, you're troubled in your life. God help us. He prayed and he prevailed. It says in verse number 30, he said, for I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Not only did he pray and prevailed, he was preserved. He said, I'm ready to face Esau. Let me ask you something. He wasn't worried about it. That's not when he got saved, I don't think. But he said, my life is preserved. He's talking about that life that he walked with them two legs of his and 2 feet on this earth. That God had heard and he had prevailed. He had power with God, get this, and with men. You know who one of them men was? Esau. God said, I'll show you favor from me and mankind will show you favor likewise. I'm telling you, church, if we could ever get there, when we could be a friend of God and a friend of mammon at the same time without ever crossing over God's righteousness. Can you get a hold of that or did it shoot over top of you? God preserved his life. Now I wonder how many of you in here this morning, that you've got something in your life that you can't get over the hump on it, and you're locked up in your mind and you're living all alone like Paul of Athens. I'll guarantee you Paul did not spend those days mullygrubbing. He didn't drop his lower lip on the ground and give up on God. Oh no. What are you going to do in those lonely hours? I'm going to tell you, if you'd ever learned to pray, some of you need to pray out of the shell you're in. Some of y'all are like clams. When you're living your life, you're like this laying on the beach in the shallow water. But you hear the faintest cry of a preacher or a word of God or a hymn, just like that clam when he heard the footsteps of an adversary approaching him, you just lock up. You come to the house of God, you just lock up. There ain't no place to lock up. It's a place to open up. Open up and let God's sun shine in a little while. Open up, amen, to God, and let a song out of your heart unto Him, and let God bless you. Pray through in your lonely hours and prevail, and God will preserve you in what you're doing. What a God we have. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to hurry up. I thought about Moses. The Bible said in Exodus chapter number 3, old Moses kept the flock of the priest of Midian. And he led them to the backside of the desert. And there he is on the backside of the desert with a few sheep and not a human soul around him. Some of y'all go nuts. They wasn't a Walmart there, ladies. There ain't nobody around. I trucked to the Walmart. It's showing. I burned up the roads. It's showing. That's why some of you homeschoolers are suffering. You can't road school. You got to homeschool. You can't take the places to the Walmart and teach them anything. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you cheat and help them, give them a passing grade, you're hurting them. You ain't helping them. Come on in the house. Moses was alone on the backside of the desert. Hey, and nobody around. Somebody said, oh, I love God. We're going to find out, do you really love God? And Moses looked, and behold, he saw a bush, just a bramble bush, an insignificant nothing bush. But that bush burned with fire and was not consumed. He said, I'm going to turn aside now and see this wonderful sight. I want to say, friend, when he was all alone, there was a revelation from God to him. That fire of God burning in that little old bramble bush is a type of the fire of God burning in you and I. Just insignificant nobody. Just a bramble bush, but God's holy fire is burning within us. I'm going to tell you, if you'd ever get a hold of that revelation, that you ain't nobody. God, he could have put that fire in an oak tree. Giant oak. But he put it in a bramble bush. And said, I'm gonna reveal the fire of God to this man. You know, ever been alone and seen him? Has he ever revealed himself to you? You ever seen him? Ever seen him on the cross? Have you ever seen him on the throne? Isaiah said, the year that King Uzziah died. Hire, Saul the Lord! Hire! and lifted up, sitting on a throne, and his train filled the temple. I wonder how many of you have ever seen him high and lifted up. And saw the glory that's under his feet. I tell you, wherever he's at, there's glory. And some of you in here don't like glory. I can tell the way you act, but son, I'd like her to fall thick in here. I'd like to see it get so thick we'd have to have a $9 to get out of this place. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Snot on the walls, tears on the cheeks, praise God. Some feet are dancing on the carpet in the house of God. Amen. Some on the altar crying, woe is me. Others saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm new. You ever seen him? See, there was a revelation. Then I won't say there was a communication. He said, I'm going to draw now to see this side. This fire burning in this bush. And when he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now, there's two things now. There's God's fire in the midst of the bush. And there's God calling out of the midst of the bush. That tells me that God is the fire in the bush. And God called him, ladies and gentlemen. There was a communication. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever been alone and communicated with God? Have you ever talked to him and let him talk back to you? He's got 66 books all wrapped up into one book, and I'm telling you, he'll talk to you as long out of this book as your little ears can listen. They ain't nothing like being alone and communicating with God out of this book. Hearing the voice of God in your heart. Amen. And letting God reveal himself and his plan for your life. God said, here's what I want you to do. Go down into Egypt. God ever told you what he wants you to do in life? Maybe it's because in those lonely times, you've neglected that blessing that God wants to bestow upon you. You see, there was a revelation. There was a communication. God talked to him. And get this, there was a sanctification. When he drew nigh, and I've never seen this, I have read this and quoted this, I've never seen what I'm getting ready to tell you. God said out of that bush, said, draw not nigh hither, Moses. Get this now. Take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. I want you to get a hold of this. I've always looked at that and thought, well, he didn't draw nigh to God because God was too holy for him to draw nigh to. Maybe he didn't get everything that he needed from God. Maybe he didn't get all the sanctifying power he needed from God. Look, here's what God says. Draw not nigh hither, Moses, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. He said, you've already got close enough, son. You don't have to get any closer. You're already on holy ground. Now I'm telling you, if you ever get sanctified by the fire of God, it'll be on holy soil. Hallelujah to God. I told that soil right here in this world that we're living in. It's holy ground where God is. God said, you don't have to get any closer to me, son. You're on holy ground already. And look here. He had already sanctified him that he might stand on that holy ground. You're not made holy or sanctified by doing holy things. You are made holy that you might do holy things. Everybody good and awake? I see your eyes slumbering, sleeping. Should I go? Let me get my water. The next eyeball I see go down. You're a drowned rat, buddy. Well, get ready. I got to stand up here and preach. Bless God, keep your eyeballs open. If my preaching is that boring, fire me and call somebody can soup you up. If I can't, I don't believe nobody else could either. Hallelujah. There was a revelation. And there was a communication. There was a sanctification. And then I thought of Elijah. The Bible said in 1 Kings 19, that Jezebel told Ahab, said, you send a messenger and tell Ahab that his carcass is going to be just like the prophets of Ahab before the sun goes out. The Bible said when Elijah heard that, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Now I won't say I've never seen this before. But there's a man of God that gets bad news that he's got a long-tongued Jezebel in the house of God that's out to get him because he done exposed her little play party. And the Bible said, I've never seen this before, that he arose and went for his life. That tells me that when he got the news, he was in a resting place. I'm telling you that God has given you and I rest in Him. There may be turmoil around us, ladies and gentlemen, but even in the lonely hour, there is rest in Him. Now get this. Right here's where it's right. And right here's where Elijah went wrong. He arose from the resting place and the protective hand of God and went for his own life. And I don't have time to read all this, but it said when he got there, he even left his servant and went himself a day's journey into the wilderness. And there sat down under a juniper tree. Can you get a hold of that? Here he is sitting in the cradle in the arms of God. And he comes out of the resting place and goes and sits down under a juniper tree. What are you doing here, my old boy? Love me, old boy. I'm the only preacher left in the world. You ain't going to make me believe that, ladies and gentlemen. I believe there's about 7,000 of them out there that ain't bowed their knee to Baal. I'm going to tell you, the whole crowd ain't went to fight. You might be under the juniper tree this morning, and here is the difference. There is two men alone that took advantage of it. Here is a third man, a great man of God, a great prophet of God, a great warrior of God, greater than I'll ever be, but yet there he is. Missing the same opportunity that Moses and Jacob had. Get a hold of that. I'm glad when you can't get woke up by the preaching, the child crying wake you up a little bit. And there sits old Elijah down yonder under the juniper tree. God sends an angel to him. God wakes him up. I want you to get a hold of this. God does the best He can, and yet He won't. I'm going to show you the last fatal move that He had. It said there in verse number 3 of that chapter, chapter 19 of 1 Kings, said, and He came to Beersheba, which belongeth unto Judah, and left His servant there. But He Himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Look here. I want you to stay here. I'm going on down here. A day's journey down into the wilderness. Now get a hold of this. He separated himself from the best friend he ever had. He separated himself from the best friend that he ever had. Trying to run from God or run for the fear of his life. Oh yes, and rather than getting in that place where he was in the rest of God, staying there, he said, I'm just going down here and hide. See, that place of that lonely place was brought on all because of him. And he left the best friend that he ever had there. And he said, you stay there. I'm going a day's journey down here in the wilderness. Don't you follow me now. I don't want nobody around. Elijah, I'd like to go with you. No, I don't want nobody around. And I'll tell you why, Mr. Servant. I'm going down here and suck my thumb. I don't want anybody up there to know I'm sucking my thumb. I don't want anybody to know up there that I'm having a pity party. That God don't love me and nobody loves me no more. I don't have time to get there, but it's very evident. These people had come up against some tribulation and some sufferings in their life and did not know how to handle it. And Paul said, Timothy, go down there and comfort them and establish them concerning the faith. There and help them out a little bit. Ain't nobody in here like that this morning, is there? You decide you're going to sit down and suck your thumb a little while? Big baby. Somebody go in there and get that big bottle I used to have out here. I think we've got some folks need to suck on that thing this morning. won't find it, Brother George. That's where you're going. We might have somebody here that needs to suck their thumb a little while. Loneliness. Loneliness. There is a blessing in loneliness. Stay right here with me now, and I'll give you the message, and I'm done. Hey, may I say this too? One more thing, and I just got this morning. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm telling you, when all had forsaken him, he was forsaken by the religious crowd. Jesus was forsaken by those apostles of his, those disciples. He was even forsaken by God. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the loneliest moment of his life, he done the greatest work that has ever been done. He went somewhere that nobody else could go. And went there alone when nobody else could go with him. And was cut off from man and God both. And sealed the blood covenant of God for you and I. What a great, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there can be a blessing in loneliness. Woo! He suffered and bled and died alone. He suffered and bled and died alone. No man could help him. He cried for that hour. Oh, I'm telling you, and here we are feeling sorry for him. Come on in the house. While he carried that cross and the mothers and daughters of Jerusalem began to weep, he said, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves. For this very hour I've come into the world. Woo! And in a lonely hour when darkness overhead, hanging between heaven and earth, cut off from God and man, our Lord Jesus brought salvation to you and I. And he went into a tomb where no man ever laid. He went in there alone. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to get a hold of this. You get the victory. Can anybody get this now? What did the Bible say he done in Ephesians? Didn't it say he led captivity captive? I want you to get a hold of this. He went into that grave all alone, ladies and gentlemen, but he did not come out alone. You can get a hold of it. Every one of those saints in God, those Old Testaments that were there in paradise, God brought out with him in his resurrection. He went in there lonely, but he came out with a crowd.
Yes.
Jacob went across the brook. Lonely and alone. But when he met Esau, he had a crowd with him. Moses went down into Egypt all alone. But he came out with a crowd. Poor Elijah went in all alone and came out all alone. If you can get the application of that this morning, you've got the choice. God will lead you into a lonely place in your life. You're wrapped up in your mind and nobody's there but you and God. You listen to me well. You can come out of that. I believe with all of my heart there's somebody in this church right now that if you'd come out of your lonely place, you'd bring this whole multitude out with you.
Amen.
I believe that revival hinges on one man. And if that man will come out, I guarantee you God will bring out a multitude with him. But I want to say this. Say there's more than one of you has made that trip down to where I'm preaching on right now, and you're that too. But there is a figurehead. And the sad part of it is, I go fishing. I'm going with you. You can either lead people out or you can lead others in. I'd hate to stand before God in judgment knowing that I was a hindrance and a hang up and a hope to the revival and the power of God coming to a church. A lot lot of times people get in that lonely place. They don't want to talk to everybody, but somebody can help them. And generally, to somebody that can help them that they won't talk to, they hold them responsible for where they're at. Whoop! All listening? Here's the message, and I'm done. I've done preached it, but I'm going to preach it twice. What can I do in loneliness? One thing, we can pray for others. When's the last time you prayed for somebody? We ain't done yet preaching. James 5:16 said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. When was the last time you prayed for every individual in this church? Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is also one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand fast, stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. 2 Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in is with you. When was the last time you prayed the Word of God have free course? How many of you in here have really prayed for that radio station down there? How many ever prayed for souls to be saved? How many ever prayed that the power of God would fall on your preacher and he'd have so much power and so much unction that he could not stand it? God help us to learn to be unselfish and pray for somebody else every now and then. Preacher, what can we pray for? One thing, you can pray that they'll pray. Secondly, you can pray that their hearts may be pure. Thirdly, you can pray that their hands be clean. Fourthly, you can pray that their garments be unspotted from the world. James 1:27 said, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And I'm going to tell you somebody else you can pray for. Pray for us. Paul said, pray for us. In 5:25 of the book of 1 Thessalonians. But he had a little word before that, brethren. Pray for us. Why don't you come? When was the last time you prayed for your man of God? That does his best to labor in the Word of God and get something to feed your soul. Something that you can get some light and overcome in this world of sorrow and sin that we're living in and walk in holiness. When was the last time you really prayed for that man of God? That the power of God would fall on that man in such a way that the word, his Lord, that God's word would be sounded out from this place. When was the last time you prayed for him physically, spiritually? Brethren, Paul's pleading, brethren, pray for us. I plead with you this morning, brethren, pray for us. When you're at home all alone, you can find you a corner in a closet. You're down in the woods and you're hunting all alone, find you a log and get on it. You don't have anybody else to pray for, brethren, pray for us. Learn to pray for one another. I would say, secondly, not only can we pray for others, but we can plead for ourselves. Amen. Plead for ourselves that we may please God. Amen. Old Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, when the decree had been passed concerning his inner lives, anybody made a decree to any God besides the king in Babylon, the Bible said, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know what he was doing? He was pleading for himself. There comes a time that we've got to plead for others and stand for somebody else. But there comes a time we've got to plead for ourselves and stand for our own self. We've been called upon individually to put on all the armor of God. To withstand the fiery darts of the devil. I want to ask you, when was the last time you prayed and asked God to make you holy? I think some of you are afraid of it. When was the last time you prayed and asked God to endow you with His power? Endue you with power and endow you with wisdom and knowledge.
Amen.
When's the last time you asked God to let you walk in a holy life, being an example
to the people around you, your children.
Be an example to somebody on the other side of the church, somebody in the middle of the church. Come on. What are we doing in our lonely minutes? Are we praying for somebody else? I heard a preacher preaching one time, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. But he said, I was in a revival meeting. He said there was an older woman at the church that prayed for me. She was a widow woman. And she tried her best to not cease from praying for me night and day. And said she promised me years ago that every time I went to the pulpit, that at that very time, wherever I was at and whatever time zone I was in, she would make the time zone changes. And every time when I went to that pulpit to preach, she would be on her knees praying till I got tired. He said, I was in a revival meeting and got word in that middle of that revival meeting and said God was moving and doing things. He said, I got word that a little old widow woman had been found dead on that day. He said, the awful thing struck me, who will pray for me now? And how will this affect my life? He said, when the pastor of that church called him on that night to get into that pulpit, he said, I honestly walked to that pulpit, weak-kneed, weak-legged, and trembling in my knees. And he said, for the first time in my ministry, I felt like nobody, but nobody cared for my soul. Felt like I've been abandoned by everybody and all the imps of hell invaded my soul. He said, I've done my best with a trembling spirit to preach the Word of God that night. He said, in a meeting where God had been moving, the invitation was given, said it was dead. No God on the preaching, no God in the invitation. And he said, I looked back at all those years and my mind had to run back to one little old widow. The revival in Lewis Island, two little old widows in their prayer. God would send revival. Sent a man by the name of Duncan Campbell. And I never forgot that statement. Campbell, take your hat off, sir, for God. You break through at any moment now. Oh, how I'd love to say that here and not just be for a month. A few weeks. I've heard Harold Sotman say this many a time. That what Tabernacle enjoyed from 1950-51, whenever it was organized, till he died. First out of a prayer meeting, the First Baptist Church in Pelham, South Carolina. 6 months. Now, I'll be honest with you. I love you men, but I'm being honest with you. Until we come to church on Saturday night, serious about praying. I'm talking about with a serious note in our heart. We might as well stay at home. Brother, pray. Why don't you go through that Bible? Find the number of times the people of God were found praying. And the effects of that prayer on the lives that touched you. You know, the Bible says, Hebrews 11:5, for before his testimony, speaking about Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased. We can plead for ourselves and please God. 2 Timothy 2:4, the Bible said, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. So we can pray for others, we can plead for ourselves, and we can praise him. You ever get in that holy place, nobody around but you and him, let the mule out of the barn one time? You won't even have to come to church and say, guess what? I let the mule out of the barn last night in front of you. I'd say folks all around you, they'll get the idea. They'll get the picture that you've been somewhere that they've never been. And that you've been with somebody they probably never met. How about this morning? What do you
are you doing in your lonely day? Making it a blessing or a disaster? It can be one or two. It can be a blessing or a disaster. Let's stand together, please.